Greetings in Jesus' precious name. God's been good to us that we can gather together again with God's people, look into his word, and I've been inspired. I think that God has something for us this morning because the Sunday school devotions is pretty much what I want to preach about. A little bit different. We're going to talk about the Lord's return. And there's something very joyous about thinking about the subject that we're going to look at. But there's something also very sobering. Because I heard Brother Steve, I think I heard him say it right, that, and he got up and made a few comments in Sunday school. I was in the back there, and he said something about that we won't have an opportunity to get ready when that trumpet sounds, that we need to live ready, something of that nature. And that's very sobering to think about that, to live ready. But as I prepared for this sermon, I also got very excited because I'm looking forward to meeting my Lord. There's something exciting about the fact that we all go at the same time. It's painful and it hurts and brings tears when God calls our loved ones home and that separation. But there's a time coming when there's not going to be a separation. There's going to be a reunion. And there's going to be a gathering together. And that's exciting to me. But then as I pondered about being ready and living ready, and just doing some inventory in my life, it's good for us to consider the subject. Am I truly living ready? The sermon title, you can open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. The sermon title is In the Twinkling of an Eye. And I realize that there could be differences of opinions, different ideas, and how the end times is all going to be happening and so on. But I just want to encourage you to lay that aside. And this sermon is to motivate us to live ready and to get ready and be ready. That's what the purpose of this sermon is. It's not about trying to determine who's right or who's wrong with all the end time events. I probably have my preference in what I believe. Probably that'll come out as we preach. And the sermon title is In the Twinkling of an Eye. Now, Jesus promised. No, sorry, he did promise. But in Acts here, the angels promised that Jesus is going to come back like he ascended. I'm just going to read those verses. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, talking about Jesus, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white raiment. I assume they were angels because of the white raiment, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He asked a question. So what are you looking at? They're gazing up into heaven. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jesus is coming back. Just like he ascended up into heaven, he's going to ascend down. He's going to step out of the courts of heaven and come down. And there's a purpose he has in mind. Now going to 1 Thessalonians, I just want to read verses 13, chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, backing up to verse 13, there's three words that I just want to point out a little bit. Very sad words. He's talking about ignorance. He's talking about sorrow and no hope. And those all go together. This morning, if you're living a life that you're ignorant of what God has planned for the saints and what God has planned for the end of times, and you're ignorantly living and just pursuing life and think that everything's going to fold up, like an animal dies, you're living in sorrow. There's a lot of sorrow that compasses those people. People that believe that are miserable people. And then he talks about no hope. That's a horrible feeling. That's a horrible feeling to have that feeling that there's no hope. Just imagine if you're out in the midst of the ocean in a small boat and you know there's no hope of being rescued. No hope of being brought into land. And you're out there and this is just a slow death and there's no hope. And he's talking about these people that live this way. They're ignorant, they're sorrowful, and they have no hope. We don't need to live that way. There's a better way, brothers and sisters, friends. There's a much better way. I stand up here this morning because I have hope. There's 5 points that we want to look at. We call this the rapture. And we want to look at 5 points. And they're questions. What, who, when, why, and where? I'm just going to start out with number one. What is the sacred mystery of this resurrection and this rapture? There's a resurrection. And he brings that out. He says, so if you believe that Jesus resurrected, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Jesus resurrected from the grave? Do you believe the tomb is empty this morning? He says, if you believe that, then we got to believe that the graveyard here at Sotar is going to open up. But the dead in Christ will rise first. And he says in Corinthians 15, he says there's a mystery. There's a mystery about that. He says here he's going to come with a shout. It's going to come as he left. He's going to come in the sky, and there's going to be a shout. I don't know what that shout is. He doesn't tell us, but I have some ideas. I remember the story of Lazarus, when Jesus stood there at the grave and he shouted. Did Jesus have to shout? Did he have to shout to have Lazarus obey his command to come forth? Of course not. But he did. And I believe that Jesus is going to come back and in the sky he's going to give a shout to those that are in the grave. The saints that are buried, and they're going to come forth out of the earth. The graves are going to be open. I believe it will be command that Jesus gives. The dead shall rise wherever they were buried. There's a lot of people died that never were buried in graves like we know of, in graveyards. I think the sea will give up its dead. There'll be graves. There'll be people coming out of fields, mountains, deserts. And this all happens in a twinkling of an eye. You know, they tell us that an average person blinks their eye around 20,000 times a day. That's a lot of times. And he says that this is going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. And that means that there's 20,000 episodes in a day that Jesus could return. He could come right now. And there's a mystery about that. It takes faith to believe that. Now you may say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. And that's true. The word rapture is not in the Bible. Neither is Trinity in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. We believe in the Trinity. Neither is the word missions in the Bible. But we believe in missions. Actually, Trinity and missions are everywhere in the Bible. And the rapture is talked about in many places in the Bible. Now, there's an interesting thing in my studies I came across that how the Greek word for rapture is harpazo. And that word means to catch away. And if you go to verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4, he says we'll be caught up. And it's that word catch up or caught up has to do with this word harpazo. And it's an interesting word. It's used numerous times in the New Testament. And I just want to look at a few of them. And it was very inspirational when I found this and studied this out. Acts 8, verse 39, he says, and when they were come out of the water, up out of the water, talking about Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized the eunuch, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And that word caught away is the word harpazo, the same word that's used in Thessalonians there, being caught up. And he was caught away, and he was gone. They couldn't see him. The eunuch was alone. He was caught away. Speedily. Another point, another scripture is in John 6, verse 15, and I want to read that. John 6, 15. And it says here, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to take him, to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain alone. And that word departed is the same word harpazo, means caught away. He just disappeared. He went away. He was departed. And they wanted to take him by force. Now, that by force means that there's nothing going to hold us back. When the rapture takes place, there's no gravity, there's no ground, there's no concrete vault that's going to keep people in. If they're dead in Christ, they're going to rise up. No grave, no gravity, no sealed concrete will keep us. Nothing can keep us from happening. Then you go to 2 Corinthians 12, is another word, another place where they used this word harpazo. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, it's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such and one caught up to the third heaven. Again, that caught up is that same word, harpazo. It's a rescue and caught up. Just interesting how that word is used through Scripture, and it always has to do with being caught up or departing and so on. Now, like I mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul calls this a mystery. In a twinkling of an eye, it's a supernatural event. It's not something that we can, that makes sense. There's no science behind it. It's a supernatural event. And also it was a supernatural event for Jesus, for his resurrection and his ascension. Those were supernatural. And I believe in a supernatural event for the rapture. The gospel is supernatural. But God's not finished. He's not finished with the work that he has to do. I believe that salvation without glorification is no salvation. We're looking forward to this glorification. We're still laboring in this earth, and we're in the flesh, and we have temptations, and we have struggles, but there's a day coming when we will be glorified, and we will be have new bodies. So how can we be assured? You know, there's a mystery, and you ask this question, how do we know? How do we know that the saints are going to rapture out of the earth? How do we know that we're going to meet them in the air, and we're going to be forever be with the Lord? Well, the Scripture tells us in verse 15, he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This wasn't Paul's words. This is the word of the Lord. This is what God said. And we can have assurance. Yes, there's a mystery about it, but yet we can have that assurance that it will be. Jesus was born of a virgin. He walked on the water. He fed the 5,000 with a small lunch. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. certainly he can raise us up. We can be caught up and meet him forever, be with him in, with Jesus. Well, number two is who's going to be in this? I think it's a select multitude. It's only those who died in Christ and those who are living for Christ. It's those who have died. We have people that are buried and we know that they were Christians. They lived faithful lives. They had a testimony. They had a hope within them. They had assurance of salvation. And I can name a number of them out there in our graveyard. And they died in Christ in the grave. The grave is going to give up the dead. It's only those that are dead that died in Christ that will raise. And also those of us that are being faithful will meet them in the air. It's a select multitude. It's the Savior and his saints. This is not a general resurrection. There's people that talk about the general resurrection. The general resurrection means that all the graves are going to be open. I do not believe that. There's another event coming, and we could preach on that, but that's not what my message is this morning. There's another event when those that died without Christ, that the graves will open. We're talking about the rapture, and I want to go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. It talks about it here. He says, "And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. Talking about the first resurrection is a rapture, and then there's a second resurrection, and then those that died without Christ will rise up after the 1,000 years were finished. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That's what we want to be part of, the first resurrection. I don't want to be left behind, neither do you. Some of the scripture that was read this morning in Peter has to do with the tribulation period. We don't want to be here when the tribulation period takes place. And we'll get into that a little further. But I believe in the first resurrection, that is the saints that died with Christ and those that are living for Christ on this earth at the present and will meet him in the air. Those are the people that will join in the rapture. Die in Christ, there's only two ways to die. Either you die in Christ or you die without Christ. Right here. We're all living. Someday we'll die. Either we die in Christ or we die without Christ. If we're born once, we will die twice. If we die twice, there's no time. There's a time coming we will wish we would not have been born. But if we're born twice, we only die once. Being born again, we only die once. Well, who's going to be raptured? It's not all the people. If you go to Luke 17, Luke 17 brings this out. You can turn there. Why don't you? Luke 17, there's some scriptures I want to read. Verse 34. And he says, "I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken and one left." So we have this scripture that not everybody's going to be taken. There's going to be some left behind. We get to choose that as we live. We have that choice as we live, as God gives us opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. I like this aspect that he says that some will be sleeping and some will be working. So in one part of the world, it's going to be daylight. In one part of the world, it's going to be dark when Jesus comes back for his saints. So I asked you the question this morning. What do you want to be occupied in when Jesus returns in a twinkling of an eye? This is a very sobering aspect to think about. What do you want to, in a twinkling of an eye, what do you want to be involved in? What do you want to be looking at or engaged in, or what kind of relationships would you like to have while this takes place? You know, there's times that people will be on their devices And when somebody comes around that maybe a parent or somebody that anybody could be somebody you work with or whatever, and you don't want them to see what you're on and you swipe it or there's no time for that in a twinkling of an eye. There's no swiping quickly or quick putting it in your pocket. What do you want to be engaged in when the trumpet sounds? When that shout goes out and the dead rise and you meet in the air. Is Jesus going to come into some worldly event and take out his saints? Is Jesus going to say, well, come on, you're part of my kingdom. When you're actually engaged in the kingdom of this world, the pleasures of sin or pleasures of entertainment or whatever it is. Who's going to be in this? Only those that are in Christ. I have a little simple illustration. I have a tray here. And if you can see it, there's a lot of different objects on. And it's all steel products. It's aluminum, nickel, copper. And I have a magnet. And I can pass this magnet over these items. And there's some items that are gonna pick up and some not. There's a number of items here that this magnet will not affect. Why is that? Why is this magnet picking up some items and not others? I have a piece of aluminum here. It's nothing. There's a reason. There's a reason this magnet picks up a steel product. It's because the magnet in this nut is very similar, is made up of the same. This magnet has the same nature as this does. This magnet has the same nature as this nut. Listen, if you want to be caught up when Jesus comes back and meet him in the air, you need to be of the same nature of Christ. And you need to find out what that is. We need to know. People figured this out. They know what magnets work for and what they don't work for. You can take a magnet at a junkyard, and they can take these big magnets that are very strong, and they take them over the dirt, and it picks up only the steel. And there'll be a lot of things left there. Plastic and aluminum and nickel and copper, and they'll never pick them up. And I'm going to tell you something. You want to go home with Jesus at the rapture? You want to meet him in the air? You need to have the same nature of Jesus. And Jesus told us how to get that. Explains it in the Word. Not everybody's going to go up. It's only those that take on the nature of Jesus Christ. Number three, so when will the rapture take place? Well, it's a very sudden moment. No time to prepare. It'll happen in an instant, twinkling of an eye. I can't tell you when it's going to happen this morning. I can just tell you that I know it's closer than it was yesterday. I know that it's going to happen. I can't tell you when. It could be 50 years. It could be 1,000 years. Oh, I just know it's closer. See, the Jews were not prepared for Jesus to come the first time as a babe. They still think he's going to come as a babe. But the time is at hand. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Today is the day of salvation. So when is the rapture going to take place? Well, Paul was expecting it in his lifetime. And we could say, well, then Paul was wrong. No, he wasn't. It's right for us to live every day as expecting the Lord's return at any moment. It's right. Paul was not wrong in expecting, the early Christians were not wrong in expecting Christ to return. Jesus said he was going to return. Well, Matthew 24, you know, we've had these people through the years that set dates and times and claim to be prophets and so on. Well, Matthew 24 just says this. He says, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So this morning, I just want to tell you that we know it's going to be soon. We don't know when, but we know that our Heavenly Father knows. And if you read further in Matthew 24, it says, but as in the days of Noah were so shall... But as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that the Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Basically what he's saying is that we're going to be living life. There's people, I mean, we all are in this together. We're occupying until he comes. We're building buildings. We got jobs. We got plans. People are getting married. There's courtships going on that they're hoping to get married someday. There's just we're living life. There's babies are born, and this is what they were doing in the days of Noah. They were just living life, and yes, there was a lot of corruption, a lot of sin, but there was also people just living life. Noah was living his life. He was building an ark, and he's saying that's how it's going to be. There's nothing wrong with us living life and occupying till he comes. But I'm with Wes Landis when he said that he sometimes feels he doesn't think about the Lord's return as often as he should. And I will raise my hand on that. Shame on us. We need to think about Christ's return and preparing in a twinkling of an eye that shout that will come forth. It's a sudden rapture. Now, just a little bit I want to give. We talk about the Great Tribulation, and we talk about persecution. Now, I want you to understand the difference between tribulation and persecution. Persecution, if you read in the Bible, Jesus taught, the apostles taught about persecution. Persecution is when we get persecuted by evil men for doing what's right. We choose to do what's right, we resist evil, and they don't accept us, and they punish us, and they put us in prison. They don't want us to read the Bible. We have not faced that in America. A lot of Christians have faced that. The tribulation is God's wrath poured on wickedness, poured out on the sin of men. God never punished his people in the Old Testament that were doing righteously. You tell me a story where God punished a person for doing what was right consistently in his life. He always punished the evil doing. So I believe this morning that the church will be taken out before the tribulation. Why would he punish us? We'll look at that a little bit further. Well, I'll tell you this now. He took Noah He told Noah to build an ark, and Noah went up into the ark. He was saved from the flood. He pulled out just Lot from Sodom before he destroyed Sodom. Verse 44 in Matthew 24, therefore be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. He said, be ready. He will pull us out before the tribulation. So we talk about the signs of the times. There's a lot of signs that we have that we live in that it's closer. But the signs of the times don't tell us when it's going to happen. We have things happening, but they're not. It may tell us where we are, where we're headed. We have worldwide deception. We have deception in the church. We have wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, diseases, people calling good evil and evil good. We have all those signs, but we still don't know when. We have the signs that we live in the rapture age. Well, number four, why the rapture? And I have four words here: rescue, reunion, and reception. Rapture is a rescue. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 through 10. It's a rescue from the judgments of God. 1 Thessalonians 9, he says, "For they themselves show..." Yeah, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how we turned to God from idols to serve the living God and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. The wrath of God is a tribulation on wickedness and on evil. And because of Jesus, we're delivered from this wrath. There's a rescue from God's wrath. Hebrews 10 verse 26, it says, I'm going to turn there so I can get that. Hebrews 10. Verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for the judgment and indignation which shall devour the adversaries." That's the judgment. That's the judgment of God. He says, if we sin willfully, we turn our back on God. That's what the judgment we're going to look for. "And he that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace." He's saying, listen, if under Moses' law, where they were shedding the blood of animals, I mean, they were just animals, but he says, under that law, where there was swift judgment, he says, so much more there's going to be judgment for those of us that turn our back on the blood of Jesus Christ. "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." But with Jesus, it's not. It's not a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God with Jesus. We're going to welcome that. It's the ungodly. We're going to be rescued from the judgments of God. Verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians, "The rapture is a reunion, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." Talking about those of us that are alive. He says, the graves are going to open first, and they're going to rise up, and we're going to rise up, and we're going to meet them in the air. It's going to be a reunion. We're going to see our loved ones that died in Christ. It's a reunion. And it's a reception is when we meet the Lord. John 14:3 says, Jesus is coming to receive us to himself. We go to where Jesus is. What a day that will be. Looking forward to that day. So the rapture, why the rapture is to rescue us from God's wrath. It's a reunion with us, with our loved ones, and it's a reception to be with Jesus. And he receives us unto himself. And we'll be forever with him. I love that. In verse 17, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord forever and ever." Secure, safe, wonderful place that will be. My last point is, where is the rapture going to take place? Very simple. It tells us, in the air. In the air. It says, be caught up together with them in the clouds.
up to meet the Lord in the air. Noah went up into the ark, and we're going up. There's nothing holding us back.
So the plea this morning is, don't be attached to earth life. The Bible tells us to remember Lot's wife. And I always felt bad when I read that, because it says that she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And it's only a natural response to look back, wouldn't it be? To see what's going on behind. But I think there was a deeper reason that God is teaching us, and that is that Lot's wife was attached to Sodom, her city, her life, that life, and what she was getting from that life. Are you attached to this life? Earth life? Are you looking forward to going home and meeting the Lord in the air? And I know that we have, probably some of us have some things that you have in your plans that you really would like to accomplish before Jesus comes back. And that's all right. But I'm going to tell you something. We must detach from earth life. I have a jar at home. I think it's a gallon jar. And I didn't bring it this morning. But it's filled with big rocks. I say big rocks, hand-sized rocks. And I could maybe get 7 or 8 of them in, I'm not sure how many, and filled it up. And I just want you to picture that and think about that, because those rocks are the important things of life. Now, is the jar full? No. I can put gravel in that jar and put a couple hands full of gravel, and it'll fill in all the cracks. Is it full? No. I could get sand and put sand in and it'll fill in all the cracks. Is it full? No. I could take water and dump water in and fill it up to the top. And then the jar is full. Now, if we reverse that, filled with water, filled with sand, filled with gravel, can I still get the rocks in? No. It's possible for us in this earth life to fill our life with all the insignificant things about God in eternity and things that matter, and fill our life full. And we have no time for the important things of life. No time for the rocks of life, the salvation of our souls and living for God and mission work and preaching the word and teaching the word, teaching our children, family worship, going to church, and all the things that are important to help you detached from earth life. But you can fill it up with all fun things. You can fill it up with making money. You can fill it up with things that are not wrong in themselves. But it keeps you from being ready for the rapture. Having the solid things and having the connection of the nature of Christ as we live in earth life, the nature of Christ. And when you have the nature of Christ, I can assure you, when the trumpet sounds, you're going up. Just like guaranteed that this magnet will pick up this steel every single time. It will never stop. Let's live ready. And if you're not ready, get ready. What are you waiting on? If you know this morning that you're not ready and that you got trepidation and you're not sure, there's things in your life that you know ain't quite right with the Holy Scripture, don't waste your time. Get ready. You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. Let's pray.